Hello, and welcome to Queering Eve, a spoiler-free podcast about the TV show Killing Eve, made by some queers. Hi, I'm Tamara, and I'm the one who've been to a supermarket in Italy this Sunday, and I'm only gonna be eating pasta this month.
Hi, I'm Nea, and I'm the one who had my last day at my job today.
Woo!
Woo!
Hi, I'm Nina, and I'm the one who managed to yesterday present her thesis proposal and burn her foot with boiling hot soup.
Woo!
We are watching season 4, episode 3 of Killing Eve, titled A Rainbow in Beige Boots. It was directed by Anu Menon. I'm not sure how to pronounce this surname. I am sorry. And the writer was Kaylee Fuellen. I hope I approached the correct pronunciation of this surname.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's our brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I tried.
Yeah, no.
So what have these two people done before in their lives, do we know?
Oh, Anu is apparently a stand-up comedian, among other things. I didn't recognize any of her writing or directing credentials. And Kaylee wrote for various TV shows that I do not know. So that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that I really like the title of this episode. I generally don't understand how this show picks the titles, like from the why they pick the quotes that they pick most of the time. But this one, they did very well.
Oh, yeah. There are many things about this episode that I love, and we will go through all of them.
Do we start with our impressions?
Yeah, I think Tamara already did.
Yes, my impression was that I love this episode approximately 20 times more than the previous one. I am genuinely excited to talk about it.
Yeah, mine is that I love this episode about like 100 times more than the previous one. I loved it. I had a great time. This is my jam.
Fascinating. My first impression was that I hated it even more than the first two episodes.
Amazing.
Then on the rewatch, I liked it better, which has happened every time so far in this season. But this one was like, oh, why did I hate this? I like it. And then we get to a thing and I'm like, oh, I remember why I hate this episode.
I will say that I said very excitedly that I loved it because I was comparing it to the previous episode, which, as you can remember, I was not a fan of, and that made me sad. I don't think this is, like, one of my favorite episodes of the show ever, but I did really, really like it.
Let's get to the episode. We open up with Villanelle in a messy state. In a hotel, specifically Eve's hotel, she enters, so she is dressed as a maid. Is a maid a term for people who clean hotels? I couldn't remember if there's another word.
I wrote down maid as well, but I also felt like a bit weird about it.
Yeah. If there's another word, I'm sorry. Anyway, Villanelle enters Eve's room. Looks around, takes off the maid outfit, and we see that she is still in her bloody clothes that she committed murder just hours ago, probably. Very near, Eve is watching the fish that are still alive.
Why is she watching the
fish? Wait. We are moving so quickly.
Okay, Villanelle also lies on the bed.
Yes, and also, like, quite soon after we see her, we get a title card saying Villanelle, which is a fun thing in this episode. Also, I really enjoyed how disheveled she looked. She looked great.
Mm-hmm.
And the way she like fell down on the bed kind of reminded me of Eve at the end of season one, you know, before the lesbian sex happens.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that for reminding me of the good old days.
My thought when I saw this title card was just that, oh, they're doing names because there's no fun locations. Because this is all filmed in the UK.
Yep.
God, that's a bummer. I did not have this thought.
Yeah, it seems that I will be the bummer today since I hated this episode.
Okay, gonna mentally prepare for that.
So, what's up with the fish?
Yeah, so in the same building, Eve is looking at the fish that are either still alive or have been replaced with other fish.
Why is she so obsessed with the fish?
I have no idea. I do not get the fish. I really don't.
I was thinking about like our conversation of why she was feeding the fish, because that was the most confusing, I think. The looking at fish, that's like, okay. But the feeding, I was thinking about how maybe it could be a way of like commemorating this space where her and Villanelle saw each other. But after the way she acts like a stone-cold bitch this episode, I don't think that's it.
I disagree. I mean, she does act like a stone-cold bitch, but I also do think she cares about Villanelle a lot in this episode. So I think that, yeah, that would make sense. That she's just... When she's looking at the fish, she is thinking about Villanelle.
Maybe she is feeding the fish because she is trying to make this hotel more her home.
Why?
Okay, and then Eve gets a paper from a person working at the hotel, and I have no idea what this paper is. Does anyone know?
Oh, I just assumed she got her mail.
Oh, I thought she got, like, gauze for her hand.
Oh, she already had... Yeah, I guess she could get more, yeah. Because she did have it on her hand already.
Yeah. As you know right now.
Yes, I have experienced this firsthand.
That you need to replace it sometimes.
Yes, Eve's hand probably looks disgusting, just like my foot right now. I did this so that I could really understand her state of mind in that episode that I didn't like.
Okay, then Eve goes up to her room and, oh my god, who is there? It's Villanelle. She took a shower and is wearing a robe.
Yeah, she is.
There's her bloody clothes on the floor and Eve doesn't want to know about it.
Yep, Eve is like, you are not my problem anymore. My first instinct is to make you my problem and make my life about you and only think about you, but I am... not doing that.
Yeah, this was one of the instances in which I had the thought of, wow, Eve is a cold-hearted bitch. And I do understand what you mean, Tamara, about her also showing her feelings. Like, after this whole room thing, when she closes the door, then it's just, like, having a moment to herself, yes. But when she's in there, it's kind of incredible how much she acts like she doesn't care. Mm-hmm. Like... it's hardcore. She just is moving around, is like, yeah, whatever, take anything you want. She's changing in front of Villanelle, which, whew, I love Villanelle's face when Eve takes off her pants. It's good. Oh, and sorry, but yeah, when Villanelle is watching Eve take her clothes off, the song starts, the "You've got this strange effect on me," and I love this song, and I love it for that moment.
That's the song that played when they kissed, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
My thought about this scene was that they're acting like exes, that... Villanelle is the ex that's trying to get her ex-girlfriend back, and Eve is over it, or acting like she's over it. And, I mean, I would be interested in this dynamic if we got to see the part before that. Because, like, there's some steps missing.
I really feel like we will. I don't know. I think we have to. I have some thoughts on this that I will share later. Some very stupid theories. But yeah, we have to. I really like the thought of them looking like exes, though. Yeah, that makes sense.
I would say that them acting like exes is the thesis of this episode, because that's what's happening in every second episode.
Yeah, you know how you...
scene.
You know how you imprison your exes all the time.
Yep.
Just lesbian things.
So other things that happen in this scene is that Villanelle is being quite needy. First, she wants Eve to slap her, and then she straight up says that she needs help and things are happening. And she asks if she can stay in Eve's room for the night, assuming she meant with you in my bed. Eve is... Well, Eve lets her, but also leaves and tells her to be gone by the time that she gets back. Oof. And then there's this really, really cool shot where Eve leaves the room and takes the card from the thingy that you have in hotels, and the lights behind Villanelle turn off. Mm-hmm. And it's very cool.
And when she closes the door, the music stops.
I didn't notice either of those things. I just had, like, the feelings that she was expressing.
Yeah, and then after Eve has this performance, she closes the door and we see that she is shaken by this by this event in her life, as she usually is when meeting Villanelle. Yeah, so Eve then, after leaving her room, goes to Yusuf. Eve tells him that Villanelle is at her place and she doesn't mean to do anything about it because it's not her job.
And she says, I think she's killed again. Like, that's something? Like, she has been an assassin. Why is it now, like, a big deal that she has killed again?
Well, I think Eve, like, Villanelle, like, she knew that Villanelle was really trying not to kill.
Which makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I agree that this was kind of silly. Maybe she just meant she killed outside of her work requirements. So in this scene, Eve and Yusuf are talking about Hélène, and Eve does a really dumb explanation of things that we already know, as if we're learning something new.
I wrote down this theory of hers and I was just like, wow, genius.
How did you get to that? This new theory of yours.
Yeah, the theory is that Hélène also doesn't know who is at the top of the 12, which I wonder, when did we even decide that there's like one person at the top of the 12? Isn't there 12 people?
Exactly. My note also here is Eve has a hat. We cut this out.
No. I think it's important, her pretending to be French. This was the moment where I was like, ugh, I hated the two of them, like, being so casual about all of this. I think it's like the way Yusuf was talking about being cool with torture, and Eve talking about, like, not caring about Villanelle, and it was just a bit... too much for this little guy being me.
And then Yusuf tells Eve that he knows where Hélène's car is kept, and they do a rock, paper, scissors on who's gonna do a stakeout of the car and who's gonna do their job. And Eve wins, of course, because Yusuf is a rock. And then they do their sexual thing again, where they kind of fight and Eve leaves.
I'm over it.
Yeah, I'm
We've
so over
it. We've seen it once. It's been enough.
Yeah, they should have just cut it. I think that would be the only sensible thing here.
I agree.
Cut the scene?
Yeah.
No, this part.
Yeah, just this part. Just
they should have
fighting.
They should have filmed it. But they cut it.
Yeah.
Well, It looked to me like the actors were having fun. They deserve to be happy.
Okay, next we go to Pam. Pam is hanging out with a dead guy. We get a montage of her hanging out with the dead guy.
And first of all, Pam seems to have good music taste.
Oh,
I
yeah.
enjoyed the music she was playing.
Yeah.
And I also really liked how she seems to really enjoy her job.
Yeah, and like she looked like an artist doing it.
Mm.
And
good
she looked
point.
Like she was really good at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked her here.
Mm-hmm. And then she goes out to tell Elliot, who is apparently her brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it's a family business.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it is something and sons. And she walks out to tell Elliot that Mr. Turner, I think, is done and ready for viewing. And Elliot is a dick to her, calling her a creep and yelling at her because he's the worst.
Yeah.
I knew he had bad vibes. I knew it.
Yeah, you were right.
I was just really bored with the Elliot character. He's just so hateable and there's no argument behind it. Like, he just hates his sister for no reason. And he's just like a one-dimensional villain. And
well, he hates her because he can't go to college because of her, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, exactly. He is so one-dimensional. Like, he has no real story to him.
Yeah, he is a plot device who is there to give Pam a good reason to do her first murder. That's
yeah.
not just cold-blooded, but has a reason behind it.
Yeah, I know, it's just that I don't think it's a good reason because mm-hmm. he's so badly written.
Yeah.
Like, plot devices can be well written. Mm. It has happened before.
Mm.
I have another note, though. Before when we saw Pam, I assumed that she's like in her early to mid-20s, but Elliot is talking about how he could still put her in foster care, or that he could have done it recently, which makes me think that she's like 18. So if that
yeah.
is true, then I retract my hope that her and Villanelle kiss, obviously.
I agree.
Next, we go to Carolyn. She is in her Russian safe house and she is chatting with Vlad. The most important thing about this scene is that something in Carolyn's apartment smells bad. The second most important thing is that Carolyn learned about a possible fourth member of the 12 who was also tortured in a gruesome way. I don't want to think about it. And then she tells an anecdote about someone who died at brunch. Thoughts?
The third most important thing that happens in this scene is that Vlad is a sexist. He says that Carolyn could have cleaned up the place.
She says, I wouldn't dream of it.
Which is such a good reply, and I really felt that. In that moment, I was like, am I a Carolyn? I am very much not.
No,
but
yeah.
Couldn't be less of a Carolyn. But, well, I could. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, what I love about this scene is that Carolyn assumes that this person who was tortured is the fourth member of the 12 because he was tortured. And no one else claimed his murder.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone agrees and is like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that tracks.
That explains it.
Let's go to another fun couple.
Ooh.
Villanelle is knocking on a door. This door belongs to Martin, the psychiatrist. Martin was not expecting Villanelle, so when he sees her, he is naturally surprised. But they sit on a couch and Villanelle wants therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So we are now in the Villanelle's therapy part of the episode. What we learn is that Villanelle feels like shit and she doesn't like it, which I think is fine.
Woof.
Before I ask you for your comments, I would just like to say that my note here is on Martin and it says in caps lock, I love him, he's normal.
Good.
And I mean normal, not in a sense of he is boring and everyday like. I just mean normal in he's very well adjusted. And in this show where no one is very well adjusted, this is actually like a breath of fresh air.
Would you call him beige?
No, actually, I would not. I don't think he's beige. I think he's like golden.
A golden boy.
A golden boy. Yeah, he's a golden boy.
So when I first watched this scene and like a lot of the other scenes with Villanelle, I was like, are we still here on the like, oh, Villanelle doesn't want to be a murderer anymore and is trying to become a good person. I'm very bored of that. But then I thought about it, like, I think another way to interpret what she's going through is that, like, she feels like shit because she went through a breakup. And that's actually what's happening. And that I like. I really like thinking about it that way. I know the show isn't, like, doesn't quite support this theory 100%, but
yeah.
We can go back to Eve, who just entered the garage where she wanted to do the stakeout, and immediately she happens upon a conversation between Hélène's driver and a chick called Fernanda, who apparently is Hélène's ex and is upset because Hélène dumped her. Eve is so lucky in this episode.
Yeah, thank God she came at the right time, right?
Yeah.
So Eve pretends that a girlfriend dumps her on the phone at the same moment as Fernanda walks by so that they can connect, which was both cringe and amazing.
Mm-hmm. I really like it. I thought it was great. I think Eve did a great job. Like, obviously, lucky for her that Fernanda is the kind of person that she is, that, like, all of this worked, blah, blah, blah.
No, she's so smart and she immediately read her
She's
character.
Very intuitive. She always understands what's happening. Like, ah, yes, I see a little bit of blood. It must have been Villanelle.
Yeah.
Yeah, true, that is her superpower. But I just love the whole thing of talking on the phone, like she's going through a breakup and then bumping into Fernanda and the way she says she doesn't have any friends here. And oh my God, then Fernanda hugs her and tells her she does have friends. I fell in love with Fernanda immediately.
Me too. Yeah. I loved her.
I want to be her friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to say that one of the things that I really love if actors do well is when they act as someone who is bad at acting, which Sandra Oh does as this character, and I think it's beautiful.
Oh, I hated this. I hated this because we have seen so many times before in this show that Eve is a good actor.
We have. Like, when?
Yeah, just last episode when she cosplayed as a teacher and she was, like, great at it.
Oh, that's right.
And here she's suddenly, like, so bad at it. And I had two theories. One was that just this was directed by a different director, which is true.
Theory.
Well, at that point it was a theory because I hadn't looked it up.
Fair. You're only saying it now that it's been confirmed.
The other theory, which is a bit kinder to the writers of this show and a little less kind to Eve as a character, is that she is just underestimating Fernanda so much that she feels like she doesn't have to really try. I think Eve sees Fernanda as someone who's like just, you know, so frivolous Eve is so smart and so much cooler, just like she hated Gemma.
I loved
Gemma and I hated Eve, and now I hate Eve so much in this episode.
I just want to say that both of those theories are great, and I feel both of them.
Okay, so back in the morgue, Elliot and Pam are talking, and Elliot again is being one-dimensionally annoying, and he calls Pam stupid and tells her that she's not allowed at the front because she scares the customers. And yeah, here he talks about how he could have put Pam in foster care, but he did not. And
how her dad wanted her mom to get an abortion so that she would never have been born.
Yeah, so basically they're just like, every single thing that he says is like terrible, horrible.
Yeah.
He should die.
I think maybe a problem here was that we hadn't seen this dynamic before this episode. And in this episode, every scene that Pam was in, it was just her brother being awful to her. And this supposedly being a big thing for her that she kills him then.
He's just not a believable character.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like with every character, like if you want someone to be a good and believable character, they have to be fleshed out like just a little bit at least. They have to have more than one personality trait.
Well, he's gonna die soon anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, but I hate that too. So. Mm.
You know what I like? Can I say something that I liked here? Mm-hmm. I like the way Pam cleans her blade when he's being an asshole to her. And I love it when I think he leaves or something, and then we just get a shot of her face and she's like pensive and sad and angry while also seeming calm. It's just so many things on her face, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, so Pam does have something to say back to Elliot, which is that he is bad at business and their dad would think so. And then Elliot locks her in with the dead guy and turns off all the lights.
But does he lock her in? Because, like, in the next scene, she's outside.
More importantly, Tamara, when you were saying all the things, like what Pam said, you forgot to add that she finishes that by saying, "Don't you agree, Mr. Turner?" Talking to the dead body.
Oh, God, yes, I'm so sorry. That was the best part.
I love Pam.
So back to Eve / Nicole and Fernanda, who are drinking wine. So the thing that I have written down, maybe other stuff happens, but the thing that I have written down is that Fernanda says, "This was my first time with a woman," and Eve feels emotions about it.
Yes, yes, I wrote that down as well. Like, when Fernanda says that, Eve suddenly gets all fascinated. Like, before that, she was just like, okay, let's do this. But then when she says that, she's like, oh, I'm listening.
Yeah.
Let's figure this out.
Then the whole thing with Fernanda is like, oh, so you are talking about me and Lanelle?
And the rest of this scene is mostly just Fernanda talking about how hot Elaine is. And again, I'm like, I strongly disagree. I mean, Fernanda, you deserve so much better.
Then we go to Elaine. Oh, by the way, every time we get a new title card, the sound effects goes like, do-do.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Elaine and Pam are getting ice cream.
I am so glad that this show gives us a Discovery Channel kind of experience of watching two people have ice cream for the first time or are interacting with ice cream for the first time in their lives. Pam does not know how to hold it or what to do with it. Elaine is like, why would one eat this? It is incredible, like watching animals in the wild, but they are wow art.
Yeah, beautiful. This is the first time we get to meet Pam outside of the funeral home, and we get to experience her character a bit more. So we find out that Pam actually is shy and insecure, and that is because Eve said so. And whenever any character has any thought in this show, they are correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell us about what happens in this scene, Tamara.
So Pam wanted to talk to Elaine because she wants to start working ASAP. Elaine tells her that it's not the correct time yet, And she also tells Pam who Eve was, so that Eve is working for MI5. And Pam seems genuinely surprised about this, despite the fact that Eve asked her if she knows Elaine. So she must have thought that this was strange. But whatever. And then Elaine has a monologue about how she thought Pam was special as soon as she saw her. And
that she saw her as this little ghost of a girl in the shadows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like that character ghost that we have.
Ah, women of color. Ghosts, as I like to call them.
Jesus. It's just very funny how they are talking about one thing and then Elaine doesn't even transition into this this thing. She just starts out of nowhere explaining how Pam is special and whatever. Just like announces, I'm gonna manipulate you now.
Yeah, honestly.
When I first watched this, I didn't know at all like what Elaine's reasons were for thinking that Pam is not ready. But I guess that like actually what's happening is that Elaine is angry that Pam either didn't figure out who Eve was or knew that there was something up with Eve and didn't tell Elaine. And that's why, yeah, she thinks that. And like, why didn't she tell Elaine?
I don't know. She's a kid. Now that we know that how young she is and stuff, like, it makes sense to me that maybe she felt embarrassed that she even interacted with her or anything. I don't know.
Yeah. But, oh my god. Also, like, she's just insecure because she is a child.
Yeah.
And Elaine is, like, ghost of a girl hiding in the shadows. Like, oh my god.
Then again, if someone told me that when I was a teen, I would be like, oh, that sounds so cool. Yeah.
Back to wine bisexuals. So my first note is, I will tell what happens, but my first note is that Eve, we already talked about this, that Eve does consider Villanelle her ex, smiley face. We learned this again by Fernanda telling Eve about Elaine, and then she asks Eve what her ex is like, and Eve looks away into the distance and she starts listing things about Villanelle. She says that she is controlling, selfish, delusional, and I'm like, my god, you're so similar, made for each other.
And also, of course, while she's saying that, there's the Killing Eve music. I just wrote Killing Eve music, so here I don't remember which song it is, but you know the songs that count as Killing Eve music.
And then Fernanda has this pep talk for Eve, within which she says she only gets to play games if you agree to play them. And Eve truly takes this to heart, which we will see the end of this episode.
Oh no, yep. Fernanda caused this. I don't like her anymore.
No, that's unfair to Fernanda. She did not know all of the details.
Elaine caused this Elaine by dumping this. Fernanda.
Yes, yes.
No, I still love Fernanda. Fernanda is a perfect baby angel.
Any more thoughts on this scene?
Fernanda is a perfect baby angel. No, I really enjoyed Eve describing Villanelle. I really enjoyed, like, it was so obvious that when Fernanda asked her about her ex that Eve would start talking about Villanelle, and she did, and I don't know, even though it's such an obvious thing, yeah, it's so exciting, and this show knows how to get me, and it is by doing this.
Back to our therapy session, we hear Martin rephrase Villanelle's how Villanelle feels, and he says that she feels like poo.
He says the word poo so many times in this scene. I love him. Some more of that golden boy shit.
Yeah.
I mean poo.
And we learned that this is not common for Villanelle, so this is why she is upset about it. she also tells us that she is a rainbow in a world of beige people.
Not only does she say that, but she says it so matter-of-factly, like, Martin, I'm a rainbow. Like, truly so good.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And her biggest problem is actually that she doesn't know what she wants. Mm. And she asks, is this what being insecure is like?
Yes, baby.
And Martin's reply to this is that she might be in a phase of change and that change isn't always comfortable, but that it might be a good thing.
So, do you think that we're supposed to interpret this as Martin just bullshitting to keep himself safe?
That was really interesting to think about all of the episode. Like, I loved everything that he talked to Villanelle about. I loved the things that he was saying. I loved their conversations. But every once in a while, there was always that, you know, but is it just so that he can stay safe? And I like the uncomfortable feeling that that brings of, like, not being sure. But I want to believe that he did actually mean what he was saying. And that even though he was in this horrible situation, he still, like, as a therapist, I think he still did his job. Because that is the priority, to do it correctly, right? I don't know.
I don't disagree with this. My reading was that what he said was genuine, but it's more like the way he phrased it and the order in which he expressed his opinions was very calculated in a way that would get him out of this situation safely. So he is thinking about getting out of this every single moment, but I also think he is genuinely saying what he would say in a safer environment.
But, like, the previous Leon of this episode literally replayed him saying that reinvention is just a form of avoidance.
That is true. That is true.
Like, that's why I asked this question, not because...
God. Yeah, no, that... I'm just stupid. Wow, yeah, that's it. You ruined me. I cannot do this anymore.
Anyway, I really enjoyed the sound of the phrase mid-metamorphosis.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, nah, you are right.
Over, like, what you said, yeah.
This part was definitely manipulative. But
I guess I didn't think of it as such because I way more so believe what he's saying here than what he said to Eve. I guess that's why I fell for it.
Yeah, I guess I phrased my question wrong because I thought, like, that you...
We are smarter.
That you are smarter. Like, I didn't mean, like, is he or is he not, like, just trying to save his skin? Because sure, that's like a part of it, but not maybe the main thing. But yeah, I guess what I was wondering is, like, does he believe that Villanelle can change or not? But I guess maybe there's not a clear answer. I was just
checking. I don't think there's a clear answer.
Yeah.
Then we get this beautiful scene of Carolyn standing. Looking sad.
I this made me think, is this just what this season is gonna be? Like, every episode includes, like, a very short scene of Carolyn just, like, staring in front of herself and just in front of her and just not moving.
Yes,
looks like it.
Okay,
next scene, Pam kills Elliot. It's not very interesting, but that's what happens.
Like, not only do I think that Elliot is not a believable character, I also don't think that him being this much of an asshole is, like, a believable reason for Pam to just murder someone.
Like, supposedly he's been this way all their lives, right? It didn't just happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess she is also, I think, motivated by her conversation with Hélène.
Yes, yes. Okay, let's move on to the fun scene.
Yes!
So we see a little bit more of Fernanda and Eve. We learned that Fernanda was married to a man for 5 years and she got with Hélène after they split. And Eve learns that Fernanda doesn't know where this guy is anymore because he was just working on some shady stuff and had a lot of money. And as soon as she asked him about it, he, or not about the shady stuff, but about a woman he was supposedly seeing, he skipped town and never returned. And Eve, from this information, immediately understands that Fernanda's ex-husband is one of the 12.
Yeah, it's really amazing how smart Eve is.
And also we learned that Fernanda is from Cuba, which reminds us of season 3.
Not Cuba.
Not Cuba.
Yeah.
Yeah, not only... Did you want to say something or can I go into my stupid theory?
Oh, yes. Let's hear it.
So when Fernanda was talking about her ex-husband and how they were together in Cuba for 5 years, like just the mention of Cuba made me think of Constantine, obviously, since that was the only time we had heard of Cuba ever in our lives. No.
Eve universe.
Yes, this is how we know that it is canon that Cuba exists in that universe. So my thought was her ex-husband is Constantine. Constantine did leave and go to Cuba. He married Fernanda. This show, like this season currently is happening 5 years later. That's why like everyone is acting so differently. This is not what happens because we do find out more about her husband. But look, this is my theory and I'm allowed to have stupid theories, right?
No, but I just realize that the man that was tortured but survived was her ex-husband, probably.
Yeah,
I just realized this.
Okay.
Cool. Okay, and then Fernanda needs to go to the toilet because she drank a lot and not because she ate something bad. And Eve takes a photo of Fernanda's ID and instead of waiting for her and asking her more questions, maybe learning her husband's name, she just leaves.
Not only that, but she steals Fernanda's newspaper. She saw Villanelle on a newspaper and wasn't like, okay, I'm gonna remember the name of that newspaper and go buy it. No, she decided to steal the newspaper just to, like, be extra shady.
That made complete sense to me.
Oh, yeah, me too. This is Eve.
I was offended.
Oh, by that.
Yeah. That was the worst thing she did to Fernanda.
I wanna say that I really enjoyed that even this newspaper had a better photo of Villanelle than Eve has on her board.
It's true.
Though, counterpoint, maybe she doesn't want good photos of Villanelle because, like, you don't want good photos of your ex around you.
That's true. Okay, meanwhile, Villanelle and Martin are brunching. They're eating something called Lunchables. I have heard this word. I have never seen what the fuck that is, and I still don't know what the fuck that is. Villanelle wants to know if she was born like this.
Sorry, but I just want us to think about this for a little bit longer. Just
about Lunchables?
This is the food that Martin has, and the way they share it. It was good? This was good TV?
Yeah, it's the only food he had at all.
So Villanelle is asking if she was born like this, like a psychopath, and Martin says that not necessarily.
Can I just add that she says, do you think I was born like this? And he adds, you mean a psychopath, which as a mental health professional, I don't think this makes sense for him to just be serving up this word. Also, I guess maybe you use the word that the other person knows, so whatever.
Yeah.
So do you want to explain to me why you think it's so fun and good that we're talking about psychopaths again?
I just think that in this specific episode, they did a fun little thing where two things are happening at once. One is this conversation about whether Villanelle is a born psychopath, yada yada yada, but at the same time the way she is treating Martin is so exactly what Villanelle always does. So she's just doing her normal Villanelle thing that she did in season one, while also, I guess, questioning it. And just the way they mix these two things together made me kind of just made the whole thing more interesting to me. And also, I just thought that when she was questioning this, it wasn't in a sense like, oh, why can I murder people without feeling regret? But it went more in the direction of, why do I just kill a person as soon as I find it slightly inconvenient? Wouldn't it be better if I just killed people when it was really inconvenient for them to stay alive?
Yeah, to me specifically, it felt like she was disappointed that she decided not to, and then she killed them. Like, ugh, I decided to do something and then I just did it. But my experience with this scene was when, like, it started with the Yumina psychopath. I was just like, oh god, here we go again, and started rolling my eyes in advance.
Me too, of course, yeah.
But it just, I don't know, wasn't so disgustingly awful.
I just thought it was fun that the show decided to tackle the theme of nature versus nature. Let's answer the age-old question.
I mean, they did try that in the previous season with going to Russia and trying to be like,
what's
this thing with my mom?
Yeah, it's true. This attempt is much better so far.
Yeah.
Okay, so to end this scene, Martin attempts to end their session, and Villanelle is not into it and threatens him with something. I don't even know what she threatens him with. She just like grabs his shirt and is threatening, I suppose.
Yeah, kind of.
That's basically it, yeah.
So next we see a very short shot of Elliot, who is embalmed. And next we see Pam telling Hélène about how she murdered him, and Hélène is not happy about it. So Hélène just sends Pam away and tells her that she's gonna deal with this situation, and then gets a call that her last torture victim survived and is now in the hands of the Russians, I guess.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I just thought that Pam thought that Hélène would be so proud of her that she just did a murder, and that she will prove to Hélène that she is ready by doing that.
Maybe.
Yeah, and Hélène was like, not actually proud.
Okay. Scene 18. Yes, I numbered them.
Wow.
Oh my god, it is so 18. Fun. I love it.
Let's see someone who's in a good mood.
Yes. Konstantin gets a montage to funky music.
It's so cool. The music is so fun. Fun and funky. I love the show for doing that. He's just walking down the hallway to the music, saying hi to everyone.
Then we learned that the reason he is speaking English with his assistant is that she's learning. Sure.
So at this point, I am 100%. I mean, I could have figured this out sooner, but at this point, I am 100% certain. I wrote down his name, that Kim Bodnia, I don't know how to pronounce his surname, 100% has a clause in his contract saying that he does not speak in foreign languages. Like, I am certain of it.
He did at some point, right? He did speak Russian. He spoke Russian, like, a few words with someone, with the guy, the 12 banker guy.
Yeah.
And also, okay. I think, like, in the previous season, he definitely has spoken Russian and been very bad at it. Mm. So maybe after that, he was like, not again. The people have been roasting me on the internet too much. I listened to that queer podcast. Nina is mean. Mina, more like, okay.
Oh, okay, you took it too far. Anyway, His assistant calls him Mr. Big Boss, which I love. I just love
too,
it.
Me too.
And then he has a phone call.
Oh, no, wait. She made sausages, and I guess she has a crush on him. And then he gets a phone call.
Yes, indeed. And then he gets serious after, like, this very fun scene. So, everything ends.
And as I was watching this for the second time, I was like, huh. And we never even find out what this phone call was about.
Me too, though. Me too, when I was watching it for the second time. I was like, I wonder what this is all about. Okay, back to Carolyn. I made a sound because we are gonna talk about this scene a lot in the Russian corner. But yeah, let's see what happened here. Okay.
Carolyn is talking to a dude who refuses to sit down.
With a rando, I wrote down.
So what Carolyn finds out from this standing dude is that there was a special type of moss discovered at the murder scene of the fourth guy from the 12 that was murdered. And this is some kind of moss that apparently only grows in Scotland. So the murderer was in Scotland or is from Scotland.
She was so pleased, oh my god.
Carolyn says, marvelous!
Yeah.
This is so... I want to say the detective guy, but the word in my mind is Shakespeare. That's not what I mean.
Sherlock.
Sherlock.
I was like, Poirot.
Poirot.
I'm crying.
Can I try to describe the next scene, even though I don't have it, like, exactly written down?
You can try.
So, speaking of pairs of people of whom one is standing up and one is sitting down, let's see what Eve and Yusuf are doing. Eve is, I guess, basically updating Yusuf on her date with Fernanda. Yusuf starts the conversation with, like, so... who is this ex-husband of hers? And Eve explains her theory that he's in the 12, and Yusuf thinks that maybe she's sexist and Fernanda is in the 12. And then Eve is like, no, because she took a selfie. And then Yusuf is like, okay, so my search came back and... this guy's name is this and this. And, like, so he already sent a search asking, like, who is this person's husband? This is who we are looking for. And then he was like, so Eve, what were you saying? Who do you think this guy is?
I really love it here. I really really love it here, though, when Eve says, you need to be much faster. Like, the way she says it, and also, like, he is just doing the work, and she's just spouting out her weird theories. Enjoyable. Great entertainment for me.
So, yeah, they found out the name of Fernanda's ex-husband.
And another thing that happens in this scene is that Eve tells Yusuf that she knows what Hélène's type is.
Which
is apparently people who she can have truly terrible BDSM with. Because her type is, look at my hand, which is in bandages.
I still kind of just took this as, like, her type is not this frivolous, fun person. Her type is... edgy, dangerous, smart people like me.
Yeah, definitely.
Truly definitely. Not like the other girls, Eve.
Yeah.
Next, let's go to a party. Vlad is doing a barbecue on his house's garden, I guess. His house is a castle. He is wearing fun clothes and talking to Carolyn, who does mention that she has never seen his toes naked.
In public.
In public. Right, in public. Yeah, I forgot that they had sex.
never forget.
Carolyn learns that there was another guy tortured in a way that might have been the person torturing the 12. This particular guy's toes were cut off and put into his nostrils. Jesus Christ. But he survived. So this is the same guy that Hélène learned about. And this all happened in Cuba.
Yes, and here I was like, huh, how interesting that we are mentioning Cuba again.
For the first time.
So yes, this is Fernanda's ex-husband, who is probably in the 12.
So yeah, it's again this thing where it's like, there is a guy who was tortured. And then literally the dialogue is, well, he must be a member of the 12. Indeed.
But he has a different name from the name that Yusuf found. So, you know, can't be the same person then.
It makes sense that I didn't get it.
You were like, Gutstam Zima? No, that was Lars Mayer.
Yes, and Carolyn, because this guy would probably die if he went on a plane, decides that she will fly to Cuba. I just wanted to say that even though this is all very silly and bad, I still prefer it, as I already said before, prefer it to how they did the plot previously, because so far I can keep up with everything. I understand what everyone is doing. I understand who everyone is. It's incredible.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Like, as far as setup for the plot goes, this one is by far the best in my eyes. Which sadly doesn't mean that it's actually well written still. But still, I prefer it to the other seasons a lot. But yeah, it just keeps being the thing where everyone is just making the same correct assumptions. Like, three people just learned about this guy and all three of them were like, ah, yes, he must be a member of the 12. Also, when Carolyn said that she will go to Cuba, I had another sad thought about how, yeah, now this show can happen outside of Europe because they're not filming anything on location anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right, this is the first time we're getting out of Europe.
Yeah, we were just talking about how European the show is, but now we're gonna probably go to Cuba.
Fuck Cuba. No, I'm kidding. I just wrote down that she looks like she's feeling alive, Carolyn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy for her.
Yeah.
Back in the UK... okay, not Cuba. Eve enters her room in the hotel. We see that Hélène left a phone number with her. Mm-hmm. And she also sees that Villanelle was chatting with Martin on her tablet.
So the only two contacts that Eve has on her phone are Dr. Martin Watson and Yusuf.
Is Watson seriously his last name?
Yes.
Oh my god. Wow.
Like with Shakespeare.
Anyway, Eve sees this and remembers what Fernanda said to her about playing games. And she's like, enough.
See, how can she be so mean about Fernanda when she inspires her so?
Right? Mm-hmm. Internalized misogyny.
Anyway, from this moment on, I have every single thing that is said written down, pretty much. So cool. If you have anything to ask, I'm here for you.
I will have things to ask, but I want to do this transition. On the other side of town, Martin and Villanelle are sunbathing. Martin is also tied to his chair, and they finally got to the star of the event, which is they are talking about Eve. Because if Martin is in tune with anything, it is the connection that Eve and Villanelle share. So Martin wants Villanelle to think about why she let Eve live. Because as he says, if Villanelle wanted Eve dead, Eve would be dead, of course. And he asks her if she likes having power over Eve. And Villanelle says that yes, of course. And then Martin is smart and is like, in healthy relationships, as if this could ever be a healthy relationship.
Yeah, you say he is smart. I wrote down Lol Martin being a comedian.
Yeah. He says, in healthy relationships, you also make yourself vulnerable. And then Villanelle says that, well, she did, I mean, not in these words, but she does also enjoy Eve having power over her. And I was like, haha, Martin, you don't know everything. So yeah, as we know, Villanelle and Eve really complement each other and understand each other and are perfect for each other. Notes.
It's all of this is wonderful. It's I am grateful for this dialogue. Thank you. Mm-hmm. More of this, please. Mm-hmm. This is beautiful. Good. Yes. Good. Great. I can go on. Wonderful. Glorious. Fantastic.
Is this where Villanelle calls Eve a rainbow in beige boots?
Yes, but first she says, I want to smell her skin. Mm. I want to hear the boring stuff she does every day that she wouldn't bother telling anyone else because it's really that boring. Ugh.
The way she says this line is perfect.
I agree. But to me, it would be fascinating because it's Eve. And then she chuckles or something. And then she says, ah, because in our bones, we understand each other. I love it. And yes, then Martin says, Eve's not beige then? And Villanelle says, she's a rainbow in beige boots. And I know that, like, right before that, Villanelle says, because in our bones we understand each other. But here she showed and not told that she really understands Eve. Because, wow, that's Eve. Yeah.
Yeah, my note was character thesis. This sentence is a character thesis of Eve. We have been talking about this all the time, especially in season 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think in this season, we could say that like Eve is taking off her beige boots.
Mm-hmm.
And really like living her life authentically as a rainbow.
Sorry. Showing her naked toes in public.
Beautiful. And then Eve comes over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we hear Villanelle, open the door.
Yes, and Villanelle does come open the door with Martin in her grip. And it's kind of funny. She's like choking him and Eve is yelling at her to just open the door and motioning at Martin to like let him go or something. And Villanelle lets him go and he just straight up falls down on his face and hits his head.
Well, like Villanelle said, look, he hasn't eaten all day.
Yes, he hasn't eaten all day because apparently they've been doing this since the morning and it's like afternoon now or something.
Yeah, and he only had like a tiny bite of cheese.
A Lunchable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting how here Eve is so angry at Villanelle and Villanelle is being like, oh no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this. Mm. And like, I guess the show has been leading us for a while towards this like role reversal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like I think it makes sense for sure on Eve's part. Like she's done being scared and she's just trying to do what she wants. But like remember how hot it was when Villanelle was like in control and like how did she become now just so scared of Eve and
I was annoyed by this in the previous season, as we did talk about, but I've been enjoying it a lot more in this one. I don't know, I think it might just be because it's done in a more fun way.
Hmm.
Yeah, for me, I guess it's partly that it was just a fun scene and that took most of my attention.
Oh, yeah, yes.
But also, I guess I just don't read it as fear at all. I just read it as Villanelle is really in this phase of her crush where she just wants to win Eve over with any means possible, and that's why she's acting like this.
I do understand that that's what they're going for. I'm just not, like, I don't hate it or anything, but just not sure if I can really understand how Villanelle became like that.
Well, in those 5 years.
Anyway, my favorite part of this scene is when Eve asks Villanelle what they're doing, and Villanelle says that she was getting therapy. And then Eve says to this that she can just book a therapist. Like, what does she think would happen? Like, so I murdered 2 people even though I tried really hard not to. And then what?
Yeah. Eve does not get it.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Eve is the kind of person who would never go to therapy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Before this happens, Eve does check on Martin and we learn that he will be okay.
Yeah, Villanelle says it's a concussion at worst.
Yeah, and then after that, I also really enjoy how Eve claims that she came for Martin, not for Villanelle. And she just leaves him there lying on the floor but puts a blanket over him.
Yep.
Like, sure, you might be concussed and unconscious and in pain, but I put a blanket over you.
I really did not understand that blanket. I was truly trying to figure out, how is this? Is this a new technique of medicine I've never heard of?
So then Eve and Villanelle have a little conversation on the couch.
Villanelle has been sitting on the couch for the better part of this scene, and then Eve joins her, and then they're like both sitting on the couch looking in front of each other, which I like as a positioning.
Cool. So Eve asks Villanelle if she learned anything new during her therapy, and Villanelle tells her that maybe she can be trained out of being this way. And then Eve tells us the story that we saw in the trailer about the Scorpio and the frog. Well, she doesn't say it, she just asks.
She absolutely does not tell the story.
Also, since I did the whole thing of they are looking in front of each other, for this important story, Eve now turns towards Villanelle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, I didn't write it down, just all the things that they say. I wrote down this as well. I have so many notes.
Yes, and Eve asks Villanelle if she knows the story about the Scorpio and the frog, and Villanelle, of course, asks if they hooked up.
Again, worked very well once again.
Yep. And Eve tells her that no, they both die because Scorpio couldn't...
Scorpio?
Scorpio.
The astrological sign.
Sorry.
Scorpio.
Scorpio.
No, I love Scorpio as like a cute little nickname for Scorpio.
Yeah, like doggo.
Until this moment, I did not know those are two different words, because in Slovenian it's just one word, and I just assume it's the same in English. I guess it goes for other
you always thought
too.
Pisces.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, whenever you're by some water, you're like, oh, look at those Pisces. We were talking about Eve and looking at into that aquarium. You were like, why was she feeding those Pisces?
I don't know what Pisces mean, so I guess.
And like, when you see two people that look alike, you're like, are you Gemini sisters?
I mean, I know you're making fun of me, but literally, in my mind, Gemini means twins. Like, it literally is the same thing.
It does mean the same thing. It's just one's Latin.
Is it? Can you do another one?
You're like, I'm not sure if this is enough potatoes. Can you put them on a Libra to check? I think we're the bit now. We're not making fun of you anymore.
So Fernanda tells Eve that.
Sorry. Just genuine question: is Scorpio just a Latin for scorpion?
Yes.
Fuck. So. Okay. So this is the problem. I did not acknowledge that these words are Latin. I just was. I'm just like, I understand them, so they are something. They're English now.
Because they're pronounced in English, words.
Yeah. Cool.
Do another.
Fernanda tells Eve that this was the first time she was with a woman, and Eve is like, "Oh, you were a Virgo." This is my favorite thing we've ever done. Okay.
So Eve tells Villanelle that they both died because the scorpion couldn't escape his nature, and then Villanelle says that maybe Eve is the scorpion, which we already talked about. It's still great.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Same thoughts as with the trailer.
Yes. Watch our trailer episode.
Watch.
Listen.
Watch our trailer. We made the trailer for season 4 of Killing Eve.
And then they hold hands. Nina, do you have any more notes? Because that's all I have.
Before they hold hands, Villanelle is like playing with Eve's hand, kind of like caressing it, and then they hold hands.
Mm-hmm.
She's like looking at her burns.
I didn't even get that. I was just like, this is so romantic.
Watching this was so exciting and exhilarating and sexy, and I just fucking loved it. Please go ahead.
No, let's say at this point some more. I feel the same way.
So this was just, it wasn't clear. This was my comment about what happens next. Not even the handholding was amazing. But
for me, it was the handholding. I mean, to be fair, for me, it was the handholding, but yeah, also what happens next is, exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Eve's phone vibrates and we see that she got a text from Yusuf that says incoming, and Eve says, "I should have done this when we first met," and Villana was like, "Oh, done what?" And then the police comes in and it's just such a heartbreaking and intense scene of like, the police coming in and, like, Villanelle doesn't try to get away or anything. She just looks so disappointed and heartbroken. And as the police take her, she's just looking at Eve, just heartbroken. And Eve is looking so determined. And it hurts my heart.
I actually thought that Eve did also look a bit guilty. Like, just when she gets the text, I felt like she was almost, like, sorry that she's doing this. Like, maybe if she was doing the decision in this very moment, she would not have done it.
Yeah, I felt that when she got the text, but not when Villanelle was taken away. But I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely, like, a mix of emotions. But I did think that guilt was one of those emotions.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like in this episode, she is very much a stone cold bitch. But as always, like, there are like bits of these emotions for Villanelle coming out. She can't just not care about her completely.
Well, I would say she is doing this because she has feelings for Villanelle.
Mm.
Like, if she just didn't care about Villanelle, she would just, I don't know, ignore her. I mean,
she was trying to do that for a while, and Villanelle just kept coming. No, but I get it, and I agree, yeah.
No, it feels to me like she feels like she needs to do something drastic to get rid of Villanelle, to get her out of her life, because she cannot not obsess over Villanelle, or, something like that.
Yeah. So when I was saying that this was exhilarating, I just meant that the tension between Eve and Villanelle while Villanelle is being arrested is just so juicy. I'm so sorry.
No, no, it's true.
No, but you should be sorry for using that word.
Yeah, I'll use another one.
It's just... No, it's fine.
Whenever I think of the word juicy, all I can think of is those sweatpants that have juicy.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's great. It really makes you... It, even though, like, this big thing is happening, it feels like they are the only two people in the world. And the only thing that's happening is, like, this space in between them.
Yes.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah.
Okay, and somehow this isn't the end of the episode, but we get some other boring stuff, which is weird.
Honestly, yeah, wrong. Should have cut all of this out as well.
Yeah. They should have filmed it and cut it out.
God, we should be editing this episode.
So we see Elaine talking to Constantine, and she is telling him to train Pam. And she needs this done ASAP because Pam did similar stuff as other assassins she trained and yada, yada, yada.
The way I understood this is that Elaine needs a new assassin as soon as possible because her other assassin fucked up because that guy in Cuba didn't die.
Hmm. Interesting.
Interesting. I did not think of that, but it's possible.
And also she chose Constantine because he's easier to blackmail.
I get that. Because he used to be married to the lady that she then had an affair with. I'm still going
here. Every time I'm confused.
Like, did I miss a part of the plot?
Yes.
I have two more thoughts on this scene. One is, love how Elaine literally uses the word disenfranchised, which is one of the words Eve psychically knew she needed to describe Pam with. And the other thing is that I was really confused about where this is happening. Like, I didn't know if Elaine flew to Constantine or the other way around. And this is, like, the one time where a title card telling us the location would actually be helpful. And this episode is not giving us that.
That's true.
Yeah, it was just, like, a fancy building with, like, this huge chandelier.
Yeah, and I assume we are in London because it turns out Elaine is available to have dessert literally right now. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get that in the next scene.
Yeah.
Let's go there.
Let's go to the scene where Eve calls Elaine to set up a date. The date is gonna include dessert.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know there's stuff about the 12, but I didn't write it down.
Actually, what I thought is that this scene exists just so that we have the scene of Eve flirting with another woman while Villanelle is taken to prison. And it's this huge contrast that broke my heart a little bit.
Yeah, the final scene is Villanelle in prison, which reminds us a lot about the last time she was in prison.
Yeah.
My thoughts here are prison is torture and should be abolished.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like anything like else that... Yeah, no, it's... That's what it is. Like, I cannot believe that as a society... We think it's okay to do this to human beings.
Yeah, I'm glad that we have this discussion and there we just skipped over so many descriptions of torture that also happened in this episode.
Well, this is real now.
Yeah, this is worse.
Yeah.
Yes, and here is where we end the episode. Let's go to Uti. Okay, so in this episode, Villanelle wore 3 outfits, but it's like only one was really an outfit. But let's go through all 3 anyway. The first one is the maid uniform that she wears over the clothes that she wears in the camp. So it's just a very stereotypical black with white detailing button-up dress with a little pen collar. And yeah, that's it. The next outfit is a hot, sexy suit that she wears.
Wait, what about the robe?
I forgot about the robe. Sorry, there are four outfits. The second one is the robe that she wears after taking a shower in Eve's shower. It's just a hotel robe.
It's beige.
It's oh my God, it's beige. The third outfit is the only one that she actually chooses for herself. It's the sexy, sexy hot suit that she wears to her psychiatrist appointment. I use appointment very liberally. It's just a very classic men's suit with a vest, and it's in gray, so various shades of gray, and her shirt is also like a man's shirt.
Well, because this is literally a man's clothes, right? This is Yusuf's clothes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I was thinking about, like, where did she get clothes? Wasn't she in Eve's hotel room? But then I just stopped thinking after that. Anyway, it is so hot.
It is so hot. So yeah, this is the third outfit. And the last one is the jumpsuit in blue. And it's very unexciting. So any thoughts, feelings? I guess it doesn't really make sense to ask about the favorite outfit.
Oh, I think it does.
It does?
Really? I mean, yeah, obviously the suit, but I also really loved the maid's outfit.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so pretty, and I think my style can be described as like a continuum between the maid's outfit and then that suit.
Perfect. Yes.
Then we are gonna do the first Russian corner of this season. I have some things to say. At the barbecue, I could see that they were having shashliki, which is just meat on sticks. And apparently that's the same as shish kebab. I read that on the internet.
Interesting.
Another thing is we saw Konstantin's office before, but I don't think we talked about it, right?
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, I agree. We should. Do you two want to say anything?
Love it.
Right? I showed my dad this and I was like, is this what like a mayor of a small town in Russia would have as an office? And he was like, also in like a bigger city. I was like, well, that's not what I'm asking. And then he said that when he like had a meeting with the mayor of Moscow one time, that his office looked similar to this.
Wow.
That, or like that it reminded him of that. I don't know. So that's accurate then. Good job, show. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about was the Russian that was spoken. In the conversation between Carolyn and that rando. It was terrible. Like, this time I figured out that it was written correctly and it's just the pronunciation that is awful. Except not all of it was written correctly because, God, the dude said Scotland in English.
Yeah.
That is not how you say Scotland in Russian. I don't know if this is, like, something that can be done as, like, slang, because Scotland is Shotlandia in Russian, but I feel like maybe the show just did that so that we would hear Scotland. Like, if you're not reading what's said, you can still be like, ah, yeah, Scotland, that's what is important here. Okay. And it was awful. Why?
Doesn't he also say peat moss?
Yeah, but that's because she doesn't know what the word is, so yeah. That makes sense.
So that's that for the Russian corner. I was happy to do this again.
Yay. Thank you, Nina.
My rating is Hero the Ninth.
Whoa.
By Tamsin Muir. This episode is all about not knowing how to pronounce last names. I chose it because it is about horrible people and horrible feelings. and it's good. Mm-hmm. Also, because it's confusing, and I know that you just said that this season now is not as confusing with the plot, but because of my theory about Constantine being married Fernanda, I got very confused and then felt confused throughout the whole episode trying to piece that together. So, yes, and Hera the Ninth is incredibly confusing for like most of the book. So, yeah, that is my rating.
My rating, I think one of us used this before, maybe even I did. It's Women by Chloe Caldwell. I chose this because I had a lot of thoughts about this book and this episode, but I had very few feelings about them both.
Tamara and I are making faces like, what is this experience?
And also, at many points, it is badly written. Though I will say that at the end of Women, I did experience some emotions. So I do still, I can still see, you know, a path where this season goes, where I will actually enjoy it and experience some emotions about it.
Yay.
My rating is Carmilla the Movie. The movie that was made by the same people that made the YouTube show. There are scenes in that movie that made me very excited, specifically that one dance scene. And I just felt similar emotions about both of these pieces of media. So that's my rating.
Nice, nice, nice.
Next is a game.
Okay, so I managed to think of a game.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yay! Yay!
Thank you, thank you. And it is, imagine an ice cream is put in front of you. You have never seen an ice cream. You have never heard of an ice cream. You do not know what to do with this. How do you interact with it? With this object?
I have a truly horrendous habit of buying a food or a condiment for the first time and then throwing it out because I don't get to use it. Unfortunately, I feel like I would put it in the freezer and then it would be dead for 10 years, at which point I would decide, okay, maybe I should throw this out.
truly horrible.
The worst habit that I have regarding food waste, because I don't usually throw food out, but if it's the first time ever that I bought it, then I will throw it out.
And then you will just buy it again?
Yes, and then I will use it.
Wow! That's wild.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you for being vulnerable with us. I think I would, like, maybe I'm just imagining what my cat would do, but... I would come close to it and, like, touch it with my hand, and then I would, like, take that hand away because I would be like, oh, cool. And then I would do that again and then be like, oh, cool.
And then, this is not human behavior. You are literally describing a cat.
I don't know. Am I? No, okay. That's fine. It's okay. It's a game, Nea. Well, I would do that and then I would turn away and leave it alone.
I think I would try to smell it and probably wouldn't be able to smell anything. So I would just take the tiniest amount and try it. And then I would be like, okay, this is so boring, I'm just giving a real answer.
No. This is fascinating to me because I would never just, like, try eating something that I don't know what it is. And it's just in front of me. So this is telling me a lot about you.
And I think after that I would decide that it's edible and then I would eat some of it and decide that I don't like it. Yeah. then I think about it for a few months and decide I did like it, actually.
It's kind of like watching Killing Eve episodes, huh? This season for you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, predictions.
Corner.
Predictions corner. I want to say, I don't know if we already said this, but when I watch the episode, I also don't watch next on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so if my prediction is in the next on, then it's just a coincidence. And because I'm so smart, so my prediction is this time very, very plausible. And it's that Eve is going to go see Villanelle in prison.
I would like to start in the same way. So I also don't watch next on. So if this was in it, that wasn't on purpose, and it's just because I am so smart. I think we are gonna find out that Constantine was married to Fernanda for 5 years. Either that or that, like, some connection with Constantine and Cuba and this guy. But I think it's the first option.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think Villanelle won't be in prison for very long. My prediction is that we will never find out anything more of any about any of the members of the 12, because they will all just get murdered and will be mentioned in like one sentence, and all we will find out is the method of torture that they were subjected to.
Very plausible. Yeah,
very
yeah.
plausible.
I find it so fascinating how, like, up till now, it was just, like, the 12, this entity about whom we don't know anything. Oh, so mysterious. Who could they be? And now, just, like, every episode, we find out that another one died, and, like, it's just another person dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ah, this show.
What can you do? Thank you, dear listener, for listening to this episode of Queering Eve. We will record another one. We release new episodes when we can. Have a nice week, and remember, you should have done this when we first met.
Cuts
so
all of this out.
Interesting.
Okay.
I love how often we're telling you what to do with the editing in this episode.
Yeah, maybe you should.
Everything? Maybe you should just cut it all out. Maybe you should do what this episode should have done with the scene of Eve and Yusuf fighting.